The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. Well, Jim teed it off today. He did a good job leading us off and where we're going today. We're talking about developing faith. Developing faith. You know, we're given a measure of faith. The Word tells us that. And we can't please God without faith. And so it's always about faith. I mean, if you look at any message I'll ever preach, it's always going to be about believing God and then obeying God. Believe what he says and then do what he says. Because that's what it comes down to. And it's not like, oh, if you make a mistake, well, now God doesn't like you. That's not what I'm saying. It's believing he loves me so much that he empowers me to do what he asks me to do. Does that make sense? And it breeds a whole different mindset then, right? He doesn't make us do anything. He leads us to do his thing. Does that make sense? Yeah, so Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Father, we know that your word will not return void. It's going to accomplish everything you sent it to accomplish, Father. Thank you for your Holy Spirit leading us into truth, leading us into all truth, that we can rightly divide your word of truth, Father, and then apply it in our lives. And we thank you for this opportunity today, Father. Bless everyone here. Bless everyone listening. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, so developing faith. We talked about the first step, which sounds funny, but it's so true. Choose to do it. Choose to believe God. You're making choices every day. Amen. Choose to do it. Last week we talked about the second step is when you believe, you speak. Because where do you believe? In your heart. And what does the word say? Out of the abundance of your heart, what will your mouth do? Speak. And so we speak God's word. We declare God's word over our lives, over this region, over ourselves. We're declaring God's word, and God's word is getting into our heart so that we're truly believing him. We're believing what he says. Amen? And then, you know, God's been showing me this all week and really kind of lining this up, and so you're going to have to bear with me because as he showed me all this, it was interesting because I couldn't have thought of this on my own. Praise God, right? Because if it was up to me, we're in trouble. But with him, he lines everything out. So let's start with Matthew 5. I'm going to read 14 through 16 first. It says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." See, as we function in faith, and in that functioning, we're active. There are actions involved with our faith, okay? This is step three in developing faith. There'll be action, okay? People are going to see it. We're not doing it for them to see. We're doing it because he told us. But when he tells us to do something, people are going to see, right? Uh-huh. And we're going to go to the scripture everyone was thinking about right now, James 2:17. "Thus also by faith itself, if it does not have works, it's dead." I don't want dead faith. See, dead faith isn't going to produce anything. It won't. I mean, dead stuff doesn't reproduce anything. It's just dead. But when something is alive, it reproduces. There's action involved. See, and we as a church, we have live faith. God put faith in us, and it's faith that's alive. And when it's alive, it has movement. There's action involved with it. Right? Those actions, people are going to see. That's advancing his kingdom. Does that make sense? So as we're developing our faith, there's going to be action steps. Mm-hmm. That word works is the same word in the Greek as the good deeds in Matthew 5. It's the same word. It's ergon. It's an act or a deed. It's the same word. Now let's go to James 2, down into 21. I'm reading this in NLT. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scripture says, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do and not by faith alone. Okay? Now again, guys, I'm not putting you a harness on you saying you got to be perfect. No, that's not what I'm saying, because you're not going to be. But in our imperfections, the Holy Spirit shows us, hey, Monty, you can't treat somebody that way. You can't say that way. That's a bad witness. That's not how God would have you draw people to me. And I'm like, oh, okay. Because what are we here for? The church is advancing his kingdom. And when you think about it, we're advancing his kingdom in our hearts first, but in the hearts of people that don't know him. See? And it comes through how we act, right? How we talk, right? How we're perceived, because a light on the hill is perceived. And people are drawn to that light. And I'm going to unwrap this for you here in a minute. We're going to get there. James 1, 2 through 4. Now, everybody knows the scripture. We say it all the time. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work. Same word. The same word as good deeds. Same as faith without works. Same word. Let patience have its perfect work, that you and be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. So what I'm seeing is faith and works go together all the time. But I'm also seeing faith and patience goes together all the time. Those good deeds are a light on the hill, right? Who sees light? People. What are you going to have when you're working with people? Patience. And lots of it. Think about it. Guys, if my faith is developing, like I would love to say, okay, Pastor Monty's going to take a sabbatical. He's going to go up on the mountain. He's not going to see anybody for a year. And his faith is going to develop. No. Don't leave me by myself. When I'm with myself, I'm always right. No. Give me a helpmate so that my patience is worked out. Give me a bunch of kids. Yes. You grow with relationships, people. You grow in your closest relationships with your spouse, right? Because when do you let up your guard with your closest person? They see you when you're frustrated. They see you when you're not exactly godly, Pastor Monty. Right? I mean, right? They know. And so, honestly, I've got to advance the kingdom with her. Because if I can develop my soul, develop faith within me, choosing to always try to present myself even with her, who should forgive me quick, I mean, you know. But if I can do those things with her and then with my kids and then with all the people I'm interacting with, if I can allow God's word to work in me and my faith to develop and rise so that I can be spirit-led with every relationship, what's happening? God's kingdom is advancing. Now, am I perfect at that? No. But do I have opportunity every day to develop in this? Yes. And like I've said, we don't have to ask God for patience. You don't have to pray for patience. It's already inside of you. But you've got to access the fruit of the Spirit by accessing the Holy Spirit. Because one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. We have it. And you always think about, you know, being patient for a promise of God, which is true. And guess how you receive the promises of God? Hebrews 6, by faith and patience. Oh. See, you receive the manifestation of what you're believing for by believing him and not stopping believing, having the patience. That's true. But you're developing that faith by having patience in your everyday life with people. Mm-hmm. It's always about people with God. Did you know that? That's why when they asked him, what's the greatest law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's the relationship. God's about relationship. But then what does he say? He said the second thing, which is just as important, is loving your neighbor as yourself. Meaning it's about people. How we treat people. Right? That's what I'm talking about. As we work on relationships, you'll develop your faith. And it requires a lot of patience. I'm going to read James 1, 2, and 3 in the NLT. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Just got to give it a chance. Here's the Hebrew 6 I was talking about. It's verse 12. Read above it. It says, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Listen to this. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance, patience. If there's a promise of God that you're believing for, number one, you've got to believe it in your heart. And what happens when you believe it in your heart? It comes out of your mouth. That means you're declaring. You're declaring God's word. Right? Because it's in your heart. I believe what God said. God's going to heal this relationship in the name of Jesus. He's going to heal this thing in the name of Jesus, right? But then I've got to apply a developed faith in the form of patience to walk out the steps until the manifestation arrives. Did that make any sense? Guys, these are tools, I promise you, that as we, as a body of Christ, apply them, God's kingdom is going to be advanced in these last days where the love of many is growing cold. You know, relationships have really taken a downturn the last 15, 20 years. You know, again, believe it or not, I've been practicing almost 30 years. That's crazy, huh? All my first patients were World War II veterans. I got to hear stories from all over the world about World War II. I cherish those, to be honest. I cherish those people I knew. They've all passed now. But you know, people, they're not as kind as they used to be. They're very impatient. I'm very patient with babies. I really am. They don't bother me at all. I like those little sounds. See, the love of many is growing cold because the pressure of the end times is increasing. And when you're squished, what's inside of you will come out. We talked about that last week, right? Like that little baby. She goes and feeds that baby. If daddy squishes, it comes out. I've done it. I've been that daddy. The pressure of the end times is squishing out what's inside of people. That's why it's so important to put God's word into your heart. So that when you get squished, that's what comes out, right? I know it's kind of maybe gross, but it's true, you know? When pressure comes, what's going to come out of me when I'm under pressure? See, the love of us is not growing cold. It's growing hotter and hotter because we love him. And his love flows through us. Let's go back to Matthew 5. I'm going to read that 14 through 16 again. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Now go down to verse 23 and 24. I'm going to read it out of the Passion, though, so it's going to read a little different. So then, if you're presenting a gift before the altar, and suddenly you remember a quarrel you have with a fellow believer, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go at once to apologize to the one who's offended. Then after you've reconciled, come to the altar and present your gift. Kind of what Jim said in Mark. Before we make this prayer, let's go settle some stuff with people. See, because Hindrances in relationships stunt the development of faith. They do. Because Satan will work on that area. And here's the thing. You know, somebody may have treated you bad. Legitimately bad. And you're like, Monty, I have an issue here. Yeah, I get it. That's okay. What's God telling you to resolve this issue? Well, I guess I got to go talk to him. I didn't say that. That's the first thing everybody says. I got to go talk to him and work it out. No, you just want to go tell them how they messed up. And maybe they did. You know, you can resolve a relationship with someone without ever talking to them. I've had God tell me, leave that person alone, don't ever talk to them again. I've had him tell me, quit praying for him. That sounds odd. But what was happening is I was trying to push my will in my prayer. And he's like, shut up, buddy, shut up, just shut up. I'm doing something and you don't have any idea what I'm doing, so shut up. And finally I got the message. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll shut up. But my heart towards that person was right. And that's all that had to happen. See what I'm saying? Now, if God tells you to go talk to him, yes, and he'll provide the time, he'll provide the place, and he'll be in that conversation, and the fruit of his spirit will overflow in it. No matter how they respond. Because of what's inside of you. And let me tell you, developed faith comes from walking those situations out by the power of the Holy Spirit, and only by that power. Because if I try to do it with my best of intentions, I can make a list, check it off, feel real good about it, and it won't produce anything. But if I can follow his leading in every relationship I have and make sure that my heart is right, and I've had to work on that with a few people. They were kind of dirty to some of my people. And I kind of have a little bit of my dad in me, you know. it's whoop, you know. But you know what? It's okay. We've all grown. And it's okay. Because it doesn't matter what people have done to you. I know it hurt. Please don't misunderstand me. I know it hurt. And God didn't intend that. But I'm not concerned about the people. I'm concerned about my God who can heal me. Not just my physical body, but my mind, will, and emotions. He can heal me. He took all those stripes for my healing. And it wasn't just my physical healing. It was that. But it was for my soul's healing. But I've got to walk it out the way he says. And that is how my faith gets developed. I watch him work through every situation and circumstance. I look back at the manifestations that he's already provided. That assures me that if he took me this far, he's going to keep taking me. Amen? Where was I? Let's go to Philippians 2. I'm going to read 3 and 4 first in the NLT. Don't be selfish. Guys, that spirit of selfishness is so rampant right now. And Jesus was so selfless. And it's his kingdom we're advancing, right? Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Let's go to verse 12. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. You see, in my soul, man, I'm saved. Completely holy because the Holy Spirit's inside of me. But the results of his presence works out in my soul, my mind, will, and emotions, which then works out in my actions, right? Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. See, he always has a good plan. For God is working in you. Listen to this. First, he gives you the desire, and then he gives you the power to do what pleases him. If that doesn't save us all, I don't know what will. Praise God, right? Not only does he tell me what to do, but then he empowers me to do it. Guys, that's better than any late night deal I've ever seen on TV. That's a good deal. I mean, why wouldn't you follow this God who died for you so you'd have eternity settled, but then also empowers you to advance his kingdom in the now? And it's by faith that we do that. And it's by developed faith that we can operate in the power to truly obey him. Did that make sense what I said? I like that. Then it says, shut your mouth. Oh, it says, do everything without complaining. And when I tell you to do something, buddy, don't gripe about it. I have griped to God the whole time I was doing what he was telling me to do. I don't like this, God. He says, I know you don't. I don't want to do this. He says, I know you don't. Why am I doing this? Don't ask why, just do it. I had to work on that not complaining. And even the not arguing. Because I never won one argument with God. Not one. Haven't won a one. I'm over. And that's to my delight that I'm over. So that no one can criticize you. See, he doesn't want our mouth to open up in complaints for other people to listen to Monty complaining. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. See, we're dealing with folks that aren't saved. Did you know that? And do you know how unsaved people act? Like unsaved people. Have you ever said these words? People are so stupid. So stupid. I've said those words. Usually when I'm driving in Denver. But do you know how stupid I was before I started listening to the Holy Spirit? Yeah, pretty stupid. I got the scars to show it, too. When they're not saved, they don't have the opportunity to have the wisdom of God formed within them. Have you ever thought of it that way? Because we're saved, we have the opportunity for the wisdom of God to be formed within us, for us to have that truth revealed that we can walk it out. Because without him, I'm pretty stupid. But with him, he gives me the ability to be patient with people that haven't recognized their salvation that's in front of them. And they might recognize it as you walk out that patience in that relationship. I mean, guys, sometimes people flee the light. Have you known that? They flee the light. I can't choose for them. In every situation, every circumstance, when you come up with a relationship that you're struggling, you stop and you ask God, what do you want me to do? And you don't do anything until he tells you. You don't do anything. And when you feel pressured to do something, that ain't God. He leads, he doesn't pressure. You remember that. If you ever remember anything I've ever said, please remember that. I know that's true, like I know I'm standing here. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Function when he tells you to function in all these relationships. Watch your faith develop. Watch that security of knowing who you are and who you are in him, and what he said he will do, he'll do. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. He will do it. Because he gives me the will to do what he wants. And then empowers me to do what he wants. Guys, you can't miss. With God, you can't miss. You see, one of the confessions that Pastor Burt gave us, you know, it's not what it looks like. That's one of the confessions. You know, because we walk by faith and not by sight. One of the confessions is, this isn't what it looks like. So many mountains that people come against, this isn't what it looks like. This is not what it looks like. Well, what does it look like, Monty? It's going to look like the way God wants it to be as I apply my faith and walk it out in obedience. Step 3 really is this. Allow faith to operate in your relationships. That's step three. Because let me tell you something, as you do that with people, your faith will grow, it will develop, because patience will start having a work in you. And then the actions that are necessary to have live faith will follow. It'll just be a byproduct. You see, everybody thinks about, you know, the good works is let's go feed the poor, which, praise God, if that's what you're told to do, you go do that. It might be, you know, mowing the church lawn, praise God. Whatever that is, it might be going and helping your neighbor. Whatever that work of faith is, it's a work of obedience. But I'm telling you, developed faith starts with the relationships that are right here at in your house, right? It's the relationship you have with yourself. Have you ever heard yourself talk to yourself? Have you ever heard yourself talk to yourself? Would you let anybody else talk to you the way you talk to you sometimes? I have to tell my wife, don't talk about my wife that way. I said, I wouldn't let anybody talk about my wife that way. I ain't gonna let you talk about my wife that way. That sounds funny, but it's true. Don't let that inner dialogue, that relationship you have with yourself, be a distorted view that the enemy's trying to give you. Have the view of yourself that the Father has, that is the true view, where you can operate in faith and have your faith developed to where you see with his eyes. See, I don't trust in my own understanding. I can't, because I don't understand. But I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I don't lean on my own understanding. In all my ways, in everything I'm doing, my day-to-day activities, the day-to-day people I deal with, I'm acknowledging him. Because he'll direct my path in how to work in those relationships, in those circumstances, where you have superiors talking to you and telling you 42 different things and then mad at you when you don't do it. Yeah, I already know. He's laughing because it's true. But God will give you the grace to come out of that weird relationship, and they'll be patting you on the back of what a good job you did, all because of him. Guys, you walk out God's path for you, the promotions that are in front of you, you wouldn't even believe. And it's not promotions for promotion's sake. It's promotions to position you to advance a kingdom in an area that he wants his kingdom advanced. See, he has a plan. He has a plan, and it's a good plan for your life. But you got to choose to do it. Then you got to get it into your heart so that it'll come out of your mouth. And then you've got to patiently work with the interactions of other people so that that faith will be developed. Did this make sense? Let's say our scripture confessions and start getting some stuff out of our mouth. Because guys, I'm telling you, we're getting to a point. You know, it was said years ago when we were out at the little church on the hill. That scripture about, you can't cover the lampstand. I had a person, and he meant well. He really did. He thought I was trying to be hidden up there. And he said that verse to me, and I thought about that, Lord. Because I'll be honest, I, as I was walking out this path of ministry, I said, Lord, I got little kids. I got a full-time practice. How in the world are we going to do this? You surely can't do this, God. See, I had to develop, right? There was some developing that needed to happen. But he told me, he said, you always just wait on me. And I remember him telling me that, just keep waiting on me. Because we got to allow that development to happen in ourselves. You see, because if we would have taken 12 years ago me and put it here, I'd have made a mess of stuff. I would have. I wasn't developed. You see, and what he has planned for the next 5 years, he's going to develop all of us so that we're prepared for that next manifestation of the advancement of his kingdom. And we'll be ready for it. Why? Because we've allowed patience to have its work. And our faith has works added to it each and every step of the way. And that developed faith is what's going to produce something. We are going to inherit some promises. That's true. Because that's what he said. Right? Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you, oh. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Lead me through. You are the peace in my trouble.